Can everyone hear me? Great. Hello, everyone. I'm Jessica Tallon. As you heard, I've been working on ActivityPub for quite a while, and then more recently at the Sprightly Institute. And I am involved in both the implementation and standardization of OCaPN. Sprightly is a research institute, and we are trying to research and develop the sort of next generation of decentralized web. We have a few projects, Goblins, which is an actor model aimed to build decentralized and peer-to-peer applications. And it's also an implementation of OCaPN. Hoot, which is our scheme to WebAssembly compiler, so we can bring our stuff to the web. And OCaPN, which is something we're involved in the standardization of. We're a US 501c3 registered nonprofit, and we can't do our work without donations. So if you think what we're doing is interesting, check us out, and if you can, donate. So OCaPN, what is OCaPN? It stands for Object Capability Network, and I know a few of the talks at least have mentioned capabilities. It's built to allow peer-to-peer communication, and it's utilizing capability as its security model. It has actors at the core, and supports messaging between those actors. It includes something called promise pipelining and promises. It's network transport agnostic. It has acyclical distributed GC and third-party handoffs. And if some of those you don't understand, hopefully you will at the end of this talk. But why OCaPN? Why are we building this thing? And my background is in ActivityPub, as I said. And when we were building that, we built it with client-server and servers federating between one another. And we're building this for the web, and so people are building these things with Django and Rails and things like that. And that works great up until a point. People are deploying, you know, Mastodon servers or something, and they've got lots of users, but you're sort of ceding some control and sometimes privacy to these servers. And it would be much better if we could build actually peer-to-peer applications where users can just run their own and they make point-to-point connections, and we can build applications on top of those. But it can be really hard to do this. Like, there's a lot of things to think about. So this is where OCaPN is coming in, and it's designed to make building these peer-to-peer applications ergonomic and secure and easy. And OCaPN is a protocol, so it's something you implement, or you hopefully use an implementation of, and then you know, you can then focus on your application logic and leave the peer-to-peer stuff to OCaPN. While OCaPN doesn't actually have an opinion on whether your system is fault-tolerant or not, this is something that typically goes hand-in-hand with the actor model, as we'll see. And so this is important in that you often want distributed applications to be quite fault-tolerant. Because it's network transport agnostic, applications don't have to worry about the network, and the transport can be swapped out to their needs. So capability security. I know the previous talk and several other talks have mentioned this, so hopefully you're all familiar, but if you're not, I'll quickly go over it. We like to say at Sprightly, if you don't have it, you can't use it. And that means basically if you have a reference to something or something like that, you can just use it. There isn't anything to stop you doing that. You can think of this as like procedure arguments or something. Pass something into a procedure, and then it can use that thing you've passed into it, or file handles. You give it a file handle instead of the entire access to the file system. And capability security often goes hand in hand with the principle of least authority, which is you give programs just the privileges they need to do their job. The alternative to capability security is usually access control lists, which are susceptible to confused deputy attacks, which is a security vulnerability. And also, ACLs tend to lend themselves to centralized systems. There is usually a program that has a lot of power and then gives that out to other programs. And this is somewhat inherently centralized. So capability security can help with building distributed applications. I'm sorry that these are a little small. I should have made them bigger. But this is a very basic diagram showing a blog. And in the middle, you've got these posts. And these arrows are the capabilities. And this is showing attenuation, giving just a part of a capability out. And so you can see here the admin has the capability to write. That's what the W, if you can make that out, is meaning. And the blog itself has the capability to read, but not write. So you can take a read-write capability and split out just part of the capability and hand that out. And so that's a really interesting and useful property of capabilities. This is a somewhat scary looking diagram, but it's not too bad. This is Lauren, and she's got a blog with an admin, and she wants to give this out to Robert. She doesn't just give her entire capability, she gives a proxy to that capability, and this proxy is revocable and will log what Robert is doing. So Lauren can look at the log, and then if she chooses, revoke, and this arrow you can see pointing between the proxy half moon and the admin in the middle is pointing at some kind of like switch in a circuit or fuse. And so this would be really difficult to model in a classic ACL system, but this is actually something pretty easy to model in a capability security system. The actor model is at the heart of OCaPN. So I'll go over it a little bit. Actors communicate with other actors by message passing, sending messages to other actors. And actors work great in concurrent systems. So you can have multiple actors working at the same time. Actors are also great for distributed applications. You can usually put a network boundary, have an actor system and then put a network boundary in the middle. And that's usually fairly trivial. And again, they often lend themselves to fault-tolerant systems. Things like Erlang and Elixir often tout this, and they're relying on the actor model. So to get into OCaPN, I'm going to sort of go through the protocol and show you what these messages look like on the wire. And I've mentioned that we're sending messages to actors. And so how are actors represented on the wire? There is this notion of imports and exports. And these are pairwise within a session ways of representing an actor. And you represent them with a positive integer. These are session specific. So, you know, the integer 5 is specific to, say, an A and B, peer A and B session. But that could reference a completely different actor within another session. And this is sort of like the most important operator within OCaPN. And this is how actors message one another. And this is OP deliver. And it takes four arguments. And you'll see how these two final arguments are used in later slides when I go over other features. But the first one is which actor are we sending this message to? And this will be using those imports and exports that I was talking about. And then there's a list of arguments that you're sending to the actor. The answer position is used for promise pipelining that I'll get into, and this resolve me descriptor is used for promises. I'll also get into that in a second. And so I've got two things here. The first is a line of Goblins code. Goblins is written in Scheme. And so you're seeing parentheses, and the first argument is a procedure call. And so it's this arrow NP, which stands for no promise. And this is how you message in Goblins. So it's saying message Bob with the argument hello. And this is a symbol. And on the wire, this is this OP deliver operator. And I just made up a number here, but you know it could be any number. In this case, just number one. And we're messaging Bob, who is exported at position one on the other node, and we're delivering it with hello. But that's great, you know, sending a message to an actor. But what if Bob wanted to reply with a greeting or something? And so this is where promises come in. This is sort of how you get an answer back when you send a message. And so promises may resolve to lots of different things. They may be resolved to a reference to an actor, either one the actor spawned itself or a reference it had through being given it. But they can also resolve to concrete values or indeed other promises, and you can chain promises together. You can break promises with an error if something goes wrong, or indeed promises can be broken if something went wrong in the network, such as a network severance. And promises can be listened to. And in the chaining example where you have, say, promise one that's fulfilled with promise two and so forth, if you listen to it, you'll finally get the answer at the end of the chain, including errors. And so this is an example of how promises look in code. If you're not familiar with Scheme, I'll try to explain it. Define is, we're defining a variable, and in Goblins, by convention, they're suffixed with vow if it's a promise. And so we've got greeting vow, we're using the arrow procedure this time, not arrow NP, because we're wanting a promise. And we're sending Alice, hello, and Bob. So the two arguments, hello and Bob. Alice is our reference here to another actor, probably on another machine. And we're then calling this on procedure, which is how you listen to a promise in Goblins. And we've got this lambda, which is our callback. And so when that promise finally resolves to some value, we'll do this. This is how you print something to the terminal in Guile. So you'll see promise said, and then whatever Alice replied with. And so how's this working on the wire? So I've got again, we're sending a message with OP deliver. And this OP deliver will come up a lot. It's used a lot in OCaPN. And this time we've got both of our arguments we saw in the code example. I'm still not using this answer position, so that's set to false. And now I've got this resolve me descriptor, and this is telling the implementation on the other side, when you finally get an answer to this, or if you need to break it due to an error, let me know here. And this is another object, another actor in the actor model. And we're just exporting this to the other side. And so we say it's an import object and two. So we just made up an available number to export this. You export by just referencing an object. And so we've referenced this object. And then finally, later on, when our actor when we get a resolution to it, they will send another OP deliver, and this time they're referencing that ResolveMe descriptor actor, and they will use the fulfill method on this, and in this case, Alice is saying, "Hello, Bob. My name is Alice," and they don't care about any resolution or promise to get back. So they've just set the false for the answer position and resolve me descriptor. So this is the basic building blocks of OCaPN and how you would message actors that might be across the network. But that's pretty basic stuff, but that's not the only thing you can do with OCaPN. There is this feature called promise pipelining, and this allows you to do some pretty neat stuff. So in this example, I'm going to walk through the example and then sort of explain as I go why this is so interesting. So we're starting with this car factory vow, and we're messaging this actor somewhere on the network, and we're saying, "Hey, make me a factory, a car factory." And then we're immediately, on the next line, sending a message to this promise. And how's that happening? The message may not have left my machine. Certainly, it takes some time to build a car factory, right? And so how am I managing to send a message to this? But I am. I'm sending a message to this and saying, "Hey, make a car." And then on the next line, I'm even messaging that promise, this promise to the car I've just asked for, and I'm saying, "Hey, drive that car." And then I listen to this drive promise, and I've got another handler, and you can see here I've included some error handling too in case something broke. But in most systems, you might send a message to the factory builder and then say, wait for that response, and the other side will say, "Oh, here's your car factory. I've just spent a bunch of time building it." And then you'll say, "Okay, then now I want that car." And then it'll go ahead and make the car, and you'll wait for the answer, and you'll say, "Hey, go ahead and drive." But this, I can just have this nice flat ergonomic structure in the code, and I don't need to do that. I can just dispatch all my messages to the other side and then get my answer back at the end. And so this both allows for this ergonomic code, but it also prevents this sort of back and forth conversation where I'm going A to B and then B to A and then A to B and B to A when I'm sending these messages and getting a reply. And so this saves on network traffic, it saves on time. And how are we achieving this? Well, you can see this OP deliver at the top. In this case, I've just said the car factory builder is at number 5, and we're saying make a factory. And this is at position 2. That we're now using this answer position, and that side just makes up an integer to represent the promise, and then you start messaging that answer. So you're saying, "Hey, at that thing I just told you to make, I want you to deliver this message." And then, again, we specified 3, and we're saying, "Hey, at that car I just told you to make, deliver this message." And this time, we don't want a pipeline anymore, so we've just given it a ResolveMe descriptor, and B can then fulfill this with an answer or break it with an error if something were to happen. I don't want to spend too much time on this slide, but GCE turns out to be very important in distributed systems. You often want to clean up objects, and if you're handing out references and stuff, you need to know when the other side's done with that reference. And so I just want to say that we do have acyclic garbage collection, distributed garbage collection in OCaPN. And it works by reference counting on the wire, and then we have it for both those answers from promise pipelining and for regular objects. Now, this is my favorite feature of OCaPN. It's very neat. So This is being sent by Alicia on peer A, one machine, and it's being sent to Ben, who's on another machine, peer B. And Ben's saying, I'm going to call this method meet. And interestingly, Ben's passing Carol on peer C. So this is, Alicia has two sessions here, and how would Alicia do this when you've just got integers? It turns out we've got this third-party handoff thing, and I'm running out of time to explain this, so I'm going to go very quickly. Don't worry if you don't understand, but basically, Node A gives Carol a gift and says, look after this for me, and then Node A then sends a message to Ben that OP deliver, and it includes this certificate, and you can see it's secure, it's signed, it's you can see because it's got this little rubber stamp on it, it's a signed certificate, and that includes information from the A to C session and the A to B session, and then Ben can then establish a new connection to C and include some information of its own and the certificate it got. And then finally, Node B can have a session with Node C, and there's no proxying going on here. Node A could then go down, and they could continue talking and sending messages, and Ben has that reference to Carol. And so, like I said, don't worry if you don't understand this. The takeaway is that you can have this ergonomic, intuitive way of programming with OCaPN, and it will handle this secure handoff of references and creating connections to other nodes, and it handles all the security issues with replay attacks and things like that. It's split into three layers. Everything I've talked about so far is in CapTP, but there is net layers, support for Tor onion net layers, libptp, WebSockets, Unix domain sockets, and things like that. You can sort of just pick one and run with it, and new ones can be defined. And then there are locators for specifying capabilities to connect to a machine and get objects and things like that. The next work I'll be working on is a relay. Peer-to-peer things can be very difficult in a lot of situations. Web browsers is one. It can be really hard to get true peer-to-peer stuff there. But also network configurations. You could be behind firewalls and things. And so relays do have a use, but it's important not to have too much centralized relays. So the relays will be federated. You don't have to share the relay to form a connection. And they will leverage the transport agnostic stuff in the net layers. OCaPN isn't done. We have draft specs. And we meet every month and try and standardize this. We have an implementation guide and a test suite in Python. If this sounds really interesting to you, check out the website and consider joining. And if we have time for questions.
All right. Let's give another round of applause. Unfortunately, we don't have time for a full Q&A right now, but if you do have questions, please talk to Jessica afterwards.